A Playlist Original.
Hello and welcome back to episode 8 of the Breakfast Book Club. I'm Emily and today I am joined by Hells, who you will probably know as The Hells Project over on Instagram. She is an incredible guest. If you don't follow her, make sure you are following her because her Instagram is one that I save all of her posts for inspiration all the time. Hells gives us so many amazing book recommendations, especially audiobook recommendations. I mentioned in the podcast that I'm going to go and download some, and I actually did straight away, which is testament to how much I just trust her judgment. So get your pen and paper ready, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Hi, Hells, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Thank you so much for being a guest.
Oh, not a problem. I'm very happy to do it.
So we will jump straight in today with what you're currently reading.
So at the moment, I'm being festive. I've got The Christmas Escape by Sarah Morgan as an audiobook at the moment. And I'm also reading Hazel Pryor's The Call of the Penguins, which is the second book. Her first one was Away with the Penguins, which I read last year. And it's just heartwarming and lovely.
So I have Away with the Penguins on my December TBR to read, which has been on my TBR since last December, and it was just one of those things you just don't get round to it. So I'm determined this year I will pick it up, but TBR just gets longer and longer every day. I'm like, there's only so many days in the month.
I know, it's sort of a never-ending thing, and it's so easy to have a really big pile and be determined to get to one, and then suddenly another book just edges out all the others and you just have to start reading it immediately.
Yeah, I've been so lucky with like proofs lately as well. Every time one comes through the door, I'm like, I have to read this straight away, and everything else just falls apart. I'm like, oh, oops.
Yeah, oops. I'm exactly the same. I had so many good intentions, and then when the no-show arrived, I was just like, yeah, I'm gonna be reading this next.
Yeah, everything's gone, this is what I'm reading now. So I'm currently reading Hyde by Nell Paterson, which is out next week, I believe. So it's not festive, but it's a thriller set on Boxing Day, so sort of festive. Yeah. But I love like winter thrillers. They're like my favourite. I think they're just so creepy and atmospheric being winter. I'm like, yeah, that's great. And it's good so far. It's about seven friends and they go on a Boxing Day hike. And someone's been shot. And everybody has a motive, but you don't know what the motive is.
I do love ones like that. A bit like Lucy Foley's books, where that, you know, they're all sort of stranded in a cabin or similar, and you know it's one of them, and you just need to sort of pick at the clues and work out who's who.
Yeah, well, as soon as the person was shot, I was like, okay, I know who this is. I was like, this isn't a very good thriller, I already know it. And then the next page, I was like, oh, never mind. Take it back.
Yeah, I like books. It's like, have you read Steve Cavanagh's 50-50?
No, so that's actually on my list to read. My boyfriend's mum said, oh, there's this thriller author, Steve Cavanagh. Like, you need to read it. So I'm like, oh, okay. And now it's been bumped to the top of the list, but the top of the list is about 10 books long, so.
It's really good, but in the premise, it's, you know, one sister has killed her dad, and it flicks between a sort of mystery her, so you know it's the killer, but you just don't know which sister it is. And literally every single chapter I was like, I know who it is. Oh wait, no, it's definitely not. And you'd think it would be easy when there's only sort of two possible suspects, but it was so well done that I literally was guessing up until the last page.
Oh, I can't wait. Yeah, I love it when you just don't know. So the general hook of the podcast is your most important read. What would you say is your most important read?
Do you know what? It varies, if I'm honest. I think the most important book that I've read this year was probably Natives by Akala. Obviously, that's non-fiction. I listened to the audiobook of it, which was incredible, but it was one of the most educational books I've ever listened to. But it's also, he did it in such a kind of entertaining is not the right word for it, but it was so enlightening but interesting with it. It wasn't just sort of reeling off facts and things like that. And it wasn't, there's a lot about his own experiences, but there's an awful lot of history and things as well, which he made it really, really interesting. And I guess it's one of those books I kind of recommend it to everyone because I think it is really important to listen to, or to read, obviously. And then I'm trying to think of like fiction. I mean, I think autobiographies generally tend to be, depending on the story that's being told, can be really, really important. Like I read both of the Obama's autobiographies last year. I have to say, I've read a couple of Barack Obama's earlier autobiographies, but I read his A Promised Land last Christmas, which is an absolute chunk of a book. I think it's about 720 pages.
I was going to say that is good going because I had it pre-ordered and then it arrived and I was like, will I ever read this book? Like, it's so big.
It's absolutely huge. It's very, the thing I really liked about it is he doesn't dumb anything down. So there were a few points, particularly it's very in depth with American politics. So there were a few points that did go over my head. But I really liked all the kind of behind the scenes stuff. Like he says at the beginning that he wanted to give an insight in what it's actually like to be the president. And I think he does that really, really well. And it was quite nice. If you've read Michelle Obama's Becoming, obviously she's got quite a lot more about family life in there, but it's really nice when he's telling anecdotes that from his point of view, but I'd already heard about in Becoming, and the two of them, so you get both perspectives, which was actually really nice to read.
Yeah, I loved Michelle Obama's book. I just thought it's incredible. I was crying my eyes out, just in floods of tears. It was just so incredible.
It's amazing. Incredible. I read it and then I bought the audiobook as well because I was just like, her voice is just listening to it as well. It's just, it's...
Yeah, well, I actually, after I got Barack Obama's book, I sent the audiobook to my boyfriend because he was like, oh, I'd like to read that, but I would never read 700 pages of a book. So I was like, oh, there you go, have an Audacity credit. And it's 24 hours long. So I might actually listen to it as opposed to read it, just in little chunks in the car.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I did jump around and listen to the audiobook of it as well, partly because this time last year I was doing an awful lot of walking around with the buggy. And a 720-page hardback book is not easy to carry around with the buggy. So I sort of paused the reading and start listening to it as well, which was mainly how I managed to get through it. But it is worth a read.
Adding that book to a buggy would be like adding an extra baby to a buggy. It's that big. How do you fit reading and work and Bookstagram and everything else around life and having a baby and everything else?
It can be difficult. I do an awful lot. I've got two kids. I've got a 5-year-old and my daughter's nearly two. So it can be a struggle. I listen to a lot of audiobooks. Work-wise, I'm very lucky that my kind of main job is quite flexible. I have to do the hours, but my editor doesn't really mind if I do them at 6 o'clock in the morning or 10 o'clock at night. So as long as I've done the hours for the day, it's relatively flexible. And yeah, I mean, around the kids, there's an awful lot of reading the Kindle in the dark while they're going to sleep. Or, you know, if I go drop them off at school or nursery, once I've dropped them off, I'll walk back with an audiobook on. It's difficult, but it's one of those things. I guess I don't watch a huge, my husband and I watch a bit of TV in the evenings, but actually I tend to prioritise, you know, I'll go to bed a bit earlier and sit and read for a bit. And I'm quite lucky, I've always been quite a fast reader, which does make it easier.
What is your most anticipated read for the next few months? Because we're at the end of 2021 now, so.
Oh, I don't know. I'm looking forward to, I know Frederick Backman's bringing out the third in the like Bear Town series at some point. I'm not sure when, but I loved Bear Town. Wasn't as much of a fan of Us Against You, but I'm really intrigued to see what he's going to do with the third book. So I'm looking forward to that. And Tia Williams's. I read 7 Days in June a couple of months ago, and I was lucky enough to be sent a proof of her next book, which I can't remember the name of. The Perfect Find. And I'm really looking forward to reading that. I'm terrible. I know some people are really good at knowing all the upcoming releases for the next sort of year. And I'm not great with that, unless it's an author that I absolutely love. Like I knew with like Beth O'Leary that her book was coming out and things like that. But yeah, I don't tend to have a huge list of, you know, upcoming releases or anything that I'm looking forward to. But what about you?
I'm actually the same. I'm really bad at knowing what's coming out when, unless it's like Beth O'Leary or Lucy Foley. Hers is probably one of my most anticipated for next year. But I recently got an ARC, Plain Bad Heroines? Yeah, Plain Bad Heroines, which again is a chunky book. I think it's like 600 pages long. The cover's gorgeous. It's like yellow and pink. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to reading that. It seems like a little bit of a thriller, but I'm not sure how. If it's more just fiction, like as opposed to thriller. But yeah, look, it looks good, which always sells it. I will admit, when I seen that it was 600 pages, I was like, oh, I'll have to carve out a big chunk of time for this book.
Yeah, there are some you kind of have to prepare yourself. Like, I really want to reread A Little Life, but I feel like that's one that I have to mentally and emotionally prepare for. Because I read it maybe 4 years ago now. So I'm intrigued to see if I'd read it kind of differently now. But yeah, it's quite a book you need to prepare for.
Well, I've been preparing for it for at least 12 months now. And I'm not there yet. So when I'll be ready, who knows? But it's there ready and waiting when I am prepared. So you also, I don't know what the correct terminology here is, like co-run Beth's Book Club. How is that? Tell us a little bit about Beth's Book Club.
Oh, it's amazing. I've been helping out for two and a half years now. And then when lockdown hit and we kind of turned it into like a sort of members club, that's when we obviously kind of increased what we were doing. Before, we just kind of had a monthly chat, and now we do author Q&As and monthly yoga and wellness events, virtual quizzes and movie nights and things, which is really fun. I do a lot of the sort of social media, so it's always quite a challenge trying to, if I take some photos for book club, to try and make it look at least a little bit different to my own Instagram, whether it's like, otherwise I'll be scrolling through both and I'll be like, they look exactly the same. But it's really fun to do. It's a really nice way. I mean, you know, as I'm sure you know, the kind of community is such a lovely sort of welcoming community. So it's a really nice way to meet new friends, get new book recommendations. Yeah, it's great.
And your December book is Baby It's Cold Outside.
Yes. Yeah, I read it. I read it last month. I really enjoyed it. I thought the thing I quite liked about it was because there are so many Christmassy reads that are just quite over the top, and can sort of move to the side of cringy, which isn't a bad thing if that's what you're after, but sometimes it's nice to read one that's just a good book that happens to be set at Christmas rather than I've read quite a lot of Millie Johnson books, where it's like, you know, there's a Christmas theme park called, I think it's called Winterland or something, and a couple in it get married by someone dressed as Father Christmas, and you know, and you're like, oh, okay, lovely. And it's lovely, but just it can get a little bit intense if you read too many, I think, at once. But I thought Baby It's Cold Outside was a nice sort of blend of Christmas, but actually just a good book.
Yeah, I love like hot. Yeah, so I've just finished it over the weekend and loved it. I completely agree, it wasn't cringy, it was just like a nice book at Christmas.
Yeah, it was nice how there was, I liked all the songs and stuff that was, that were included in it. It was a nice little, it made it kind of unique.
Yeah, and I know I read your review and you said you knew where it was going, but you were happy to go along for the journey, which I thought was a perfect way, because quite often with Christmas books, you do know, like, it's in the genre, like, you're not going to have a heartbreaking book because no one wants that at Christmas. But to go along for the journey, I was like, oh, that's the perfect way of putting it, because that's what you do. You're like, oh, how is this going to pan out? How will we get there?
That was the thing, because it was, you know, when the characters were introduced, you could, I guess, kind of immediately see there was sort of two different love options, and it was just like, I think I know which way this is going to go, but I want to know how they get there. So it was nice. But yeah, as you said, I read The Mother of All Christmases by Millie Johnson, which I was assuming it would be a sort of really lovely, fluffy read. And then there's a horrendous, heartbreaking bit in it, which I think it needs to come with quite a few trigger warnings. And I was completely taken aback. I was like, this is not the fluff I was hoping for. So, yeah, I feel like when you pick up a Christmassy book, you sort of, you know what you're getting with it.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually had that happen to me last year. And I picked up a book, and about, it was a Christmas book, and about 10 pages in, it was announced that the mum was, like, dying. And I was like, oh, my God, like, this is not, it's December. Like, this is not what we want. We're in a lockdown. Like, we need nice stuff. It was just, I was like, no, this is too much.
And I quite like, because that's the thing, because you want escapism from them. And especially, you know, obviously the last kind of couple of years, especially last year, like, I didn't want to be reading about anything miserable or anyone getting sick or anything COVID related. I just wanted pure escapism. And I think Baby It's Cold Outside did that really well. I've read a couple of books actually this year that have featured COVID. Like, I've got to live it.
Yeah. I don't mind if it's sort of briefly mentioned the context of the time period. I'm like, yeah, okay. Because it is difficult to write a book in 2020. And for it not to mention it at all, because you're like, well, you wouldn't be doing that. Especially if it's like time stamped. It's like March 2020 and everyone's having a party and you're like,
where? No, they're not.
But I think, I can't remember what book it was I read, and it's like, this book is set in 2020, but like an alternate universe. Like,
yeah.
There's no COVID. So I was like, okay, at least you've acknowledged it. It should be there, but we're going to pretend it's not. That's fine.
I think because at the end of the No Show in the epilogue, I won't give any spoilers, but there is a kind of reference to the fact it is 2021, and it's just like, okay, that's, I can cope with that, because it's not a feature or a focus, but it's just, it's acknowledged, it's there. And but it's quite, I read This Time Next Year by Sophie Cousins last year, but she'd obviously, so I'd read it at the end of 2020, but she'd obviously written it way before COVID had sort of come out, so there were dates dating up to December 2020, and she was just like, I would have set it a whole year before had I known that, because obviously, you know, you can't predict the future, but but yeah, I read Karen Slaughter's, a book by Karen Slaughter not too long ago, and the whole thing was not focused on it, but it was, there was so much of it, and it was actually quite strange because some of it was even a little bit dated, because they were sort of talking about how, whether there were going to be vaccines and what long COVID was and things, and I was like, this is such an extra level to try and get my head around, on top of working out who killed who and all the other stuff going on with the book.
I have read that book as well, and it, there was like the author's note where she says, you know, it's a commentary on the society that we're living in, and I was like, okay, like, that's fine. But again, you can't, I think it's just too difficult to write about COVID, because every single day it seems there's something new. Like, it's impossible for it to be up to date, especially by the time they go to publication. You're like, well, it's changed a million times since you wrote this book.
Yeah, it's true. And I mean, that's like, as you say, sort of in her author's note when she kind of acknowledged that she'd done it and the reasons why she'd done it, which is completely fair enough. And I kind of wish I'd read that before reading the book, because I hadn't realised that it was going to be sort of set during COVID. And as I was reading, I was a bit like, okay, I need to try and, there was a lot to process on top of the actual story, which is quite grim anyway.
Yeah, I could not, like that book, I'd never read anything by Karen Slaughter before, and I was shocked. Like, by the end of the first chapter, I was like, oh my God, like, what is going on?
Her books are really, really graphic. The first one I ever read was The Good Daughter, and I was expecting it to be a kind of sort of police procedural, kind of crime thrillery book, which, you know, is fine. And then the amount of graphic, brutal detail in it, and 99% of the time directed at women, I was just shell-shocked by the end of it. But I think her writing's so good, and it always feels so well researched, and her stories are, I do think they're very, very good, but I also, you can't read too many at once, you know, you can binge no. Karen Slaughter books at all, they're just too intense. No.
Definitely not.
It's like watching, did you watch The Sinner on Netflix with Jessica Biel? It reminded me of that first season, like when it was incredible. And I was like, okay. But similar, that's like 3 episodes long, because any more and you would just be tearing your hair out.
Oh my gosh, yeah. It's like you had to watch one and then go and watch like Friends or Gilmore Girls or something just to sort of cleanse yourself a little bit.
Yeah, just to recalibrate.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, so intense, yeah.
Well, that brings us towards the end. So I have 2 final quick fire. They're never quick fire questions, but the first one is, what would be your desert island book and breakfast?
Breakfast would definitely be pancakes with fruit and chocolate and some sort of like a butterscotch sauce or something. I've definitely got a sweet tooth when it comes to breakfast. I'm not if you go out for brunch with me, it's pancakes or waffles. I'm not a avocado person. Can I have 3? Can I take 3 books?
In the interest of, I want to know what these 3 are now, so I'm going to say yes.
They're all really different. So I take The Martian, because also if I was stranded on a desert island, then I think The Martian would help me. You know, he was stranded on a planet for over a year, and I think that would give me comfort. Plus, it's really, really funny. 7 Husbands of Evelyn Hugo, because it's just pure escapism. And I Am Pilgrim, because it's, I think if I had to answer my favourite book, it would be that one. So if I could only take one, I think it would be I Am Pilgrim. And plus it's really long, so it would take me a longer time to get through than the other two.
Yeah. I've seen you post about The Martian a few times. No, I didn't realise it was funny. I thought it was just like sci-fi, and I was like, not my bag. But now you've said it's funny, I'm like, oh, okay.
The Martian, and so Andy Weir's written 3 books. There's The Martian, Artemis, and Project Hail Mary's his new one. And The Martian is honestly one of my favourites. The audiobook of it is amazing because it's written as like diary entries. So it works really, really well as an audiobook. Mm-hmm. But it's really, really funny. Like there's quite a lot of science-y bits in it, but the character in it kind of dumbs it down in like a funny, jokey way. It's amazing. It's one of the ones, like the audiobook I'll listen to go to sleep every night, because I know it so well, but it's just lovely to listen to. And the film of it's a really, really good adaptation. I think it's probably my favourite adaptation. And then his other 2 books, Project Hail Mary, which came out this year, is a kind of similar story in that it's kind of one man sort of stranded in space, although this time he's on like a mission to save the planet. And it sounds really, really far-fetched, but actually it's a apparently not. Like, there was some, it was sort of reviewed by like astronauts, and Tim Peake was like, it's actually plausible, all of this, which I found really, really interesting. So yeah, I'm not a sci-fi person at all, but these are kind of like realistic sci-fi, if that makes sense. So add to your TBR.
Well, I've actually got a few. I keep trying to use my Audible credits so I can cancel it, because I've been using the library, like, borrow box to listen to audiobooks because it's free. But you can't cancel Audible whilst you've got credits, because you lose them. And I've already paused it once, so I can't, they won't let me pause it again. So I'm going to use that now to download The Martian, and then I can cancel it before I get charged.
Honestly, it works really, really well, because it's him. He's making a log of his time on Mars, and so he's narrating what he's doing, and so it just works really, really well as an audiobook. Yeah, highly recommend.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna add it today. So, and final question: who would be your three bookish dinner guests?
I mean, it's going to sound really boring now after my previous answer. It would be Mark Watney from The Martian, because he could tell me all about his time on Mars. Evelyn Hugo, because I mean, kind of already have her life story, but I would quite happily have dinner with her. Who would be my last? Actually, you know what? I'm going to say Veronica MacReady, who is the heroine of the Away with the Penguins and Call of the Penguins. She's like 80, I think she's an 87-year-old woman who, when you read it, goes to Antarctica, and she does all these things which you wouldn't expect from an 87-year-old woman. But she's Scottish as well, and my grandma was Scottish, and so when I'm reading the book, I always picture my grandma. So I'll go with her.
Yeah, that's a good pick, actually. I've heard a lot of people say that the main character in Away with the Penguins is just lovely. So
she's such a like kind of typical, I guess, if I was picturing her, like I said, I kind of picture my grandma, but she's very, I guess, sort of, she's written quite typically, but not in a, it's a little bit like the Thursday Murder Club series, where the characters are fairly stereotypical elderly people, but done in such a charming way that, you know, it's sort of, it works. And Veronica MacReady is very, very similar.
Yeah, I love that. The Thursday Murder Club characters are just so lovely.
That's the thing with those books as well, because actually for both books, I did not really care about the plot for either of them. I found them quite complicated. I was a bit like, I have no idea who's stealing what and which character's doing this. I just really, really liked getting to know the characters. I thought they were just charming and lovely.
Yeah, I agree, actually. I haven't read the second one yet. And I did enjoy the first one, but, you know, when you step away from something and you go, Did I enjoy that?
I think it was one of those books, because it was so hyped up, I kind of felt like I had to enjoy it. And then I didn't not enjoy it, but I remember I sort of kept putting it down, and I wasn't immediately driven to pick it back up. And then the second one, it was sort of similar. I really enjoyed kind of re-meeting the characters and chat, and, you know, following their talks and discussions, and like it was like sitting down with old friends. But actually the actual plot, I wasn't like, I must know what happens. I was like, I just feel like having a cup of tea with them rather than the whole I think they're really nice. I think those two are actually books that work really well as audiobooks, because you don't have to pay quite as much attention to them as you do with some kind of murder mysteries.
Yeah. That's why I need an audiobook, because I zone right out. I'm like, oh, let's skip back half an hour. I've missed it all.
Oh my God. I find audiobooks so hard to concentrate. It's like you sneeze and you're like, I've missed a chapter. What's happened?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that brings us to the end. Thank you so much for being a guest.
Anytime.
And for all those book recommendations. They're great.
Oh, well, let me know if you read The Martian or listen to The Martian. I hope you
I definitely will.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Breakfast Book Club. If you've enjoyed the episode, please leave a review as it helps other people to find the podcast. Hopefully, I will see you back here first thing Monday morning for the next episode. Bye!